Good morning. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. You're listening to Dental MD on KKNW 1150 AM, Alternative Talk. And I am going to talk about alternatives. So, perfect radio show, radio station for me. Alternatives in dentistry. So, the name of the show, Dental MD, is what the DMD degree stands for. There are two dental degrees that people can get. One is DMD, and the other one is DDS. DDS, after somebody's name, stands for Doctor of Dental Surgery. And those two degrees are equivalent. The curricula are the same. The degree means the same thing. The licensure is identical. Everything is the same. There is no difference between those two degrees. Just some schools chose to use DMD as the initials for the degree, and other schools chose DDS. So the name of the show, Dental MD, that's what DMD stands for. And so I chose that name because we are doctors. We have a doctoral level degree in dentistry, and the history of why dental education is separate from medical education is an interesting history. I'm not going to go into that today. Today I'm going to talk about mercury, but I wanted to talk about why the show has the name that it does, and that my goal is to reintegrate medical into dentistry so that we're not just carving little sculptures in the little stones that are in your mouth that you chew with, because they are not separate from the rest of your body, and they shouldn't be treated as though doing something to the teeth doesn't impact the rest of your body. The integration of medical thought and the rest of the body impact on oral health and oral health's impact on the rest of the body has been separated like it's two different turfs, and it's really ridiculous. And the holistic dentists, the reason that we call ourselves holistic is because we are considering the whole thing, the impact, the way the body functions as one unit, and how one part of your body has an impact on every other part. Just like your mind and your thoughts impact your overall health and well-being, there is no distinction, there is no separation, and you can become a specialist or focus on one area, but to do that to the exclusion of the rest of the body, as though that one area of the body has no impact on the rest, or that the rest has no impact on that area, That is it's wrong, and it leads to mistaken thinking and procedures which have effects on the rest of the body, which, because of that ideology, the effects on the rest of the body in order to be consistent in that thinking, the problems in other parts of the body are thought not to be possibly caused by events or health conditions in the mouth. And so that's not even looked for. So when you have a problem in the rest of your body and you want to get that solved, they will look everywhere for not just reasons, but, you know, first of all, our system, as everybody knows, is geared towards symptom relief. Let's get rid of that symptom so you can get back to work, etc. Back to whatever it is you do without the complaints. That's the way to have nice, quick medical visits. So they will first symptom relief, and then if they do ever try to find a cause for the problem, the absolute last place anyone would ever look, and pretty much never look, is the mouth. So on the last couple of shows, we talked about root canals and the movie Root Cause, which goes into the possible effects of root treating root canals or dead teeth so that you can keep them in your mouth long term and continue to chew on those. That was addressed in the movie, the possible effects and the research on and the ways of diagnosing to see whether a tooth that is dead or dying or has been treated and has been sitting there dead for years in your mouth, whether that could possibly be the quote-unquote root cause of other problems with your health and well-being, including psychologically. I mean, it affects everything. Your brain and mind are not separate from the rest of your body either, although for a long time they've been treated as such. So another major area where what we do in the mouth can affect your overall health is filling materials. And in particular, I'm going to talk about mercury today. What the problems are. Like, mercury was, the history of mercury use in dentistry was that, first off, we did not have tooth-colored filling materials yet. There was no bonding yet. We're talking about 150 years ago. There was no bonding. There was no resin, composite, glass ionomer, or ceramic. None of those materials were developed yet. So what they could do was hammer little flakes or gold leaf, pieces of gold leaf, into the hole in your tooth. They would clean out whatever soft, mushy stuff was there and then hammer in gold leaf one layer at a time until the hole was filled to the top. And that was expensive. Took a long time. They're called gold foil restorations. And we did, believe it or not, we had to learn how to do those in school. By the time I got out and took a board exam, they were no longer required to pass the board. You didn't have to place a gold foil in someone's mouth to pass a board and get your license anymore. You did at that time, 30 years ago, unbelievably, you still had to place a mercury filling in order to pass and get your license. Nowadays, most places, to my understanding, or at least some areas of this country where you take a dental board exam on a patient, in some places, the candidates for dental licensure have an option. They don't have to put a mercury filling in. They can put in a composite tooth-colored restoration instead. We didn't have that option when I graduated. So even though composite resins, tooth-colored fillings, did exist, and we had to learn how to place them in the dental clinic. We knew how to place those in people's teeth. But we weren't allowed to do that as an alternative for our licensing board. Now, in some places anyway, the candidates. So mercury fillings, that most dental schools are still teaching dental students. I don't know if they still teach gold foil restorations, but they are still teaching mercury fillings, even though most people don't want them, and the only place where people are stuck with that as their only option are low-income sliding fee or, you know, other community-type clinics that are lower in cost. But even though the cost of doing a mercury filling is not substantially different from doing a composite, but they're thought to be cheaper. So that's why they are used in clinics where people go because they don't have enough money to go to a dentist that has a big fancy office. So the history was that was your choice. You either had gold or you had nothing until these mercury fillings were brought here by a couple of brothers from France, I believe it was. And they brought this substance over and they said, this stuff is quick and easy. You just mix it together. You mix these four metal powders with some liquid mercury and it makes a little paste. And you just put that in the holes instead of gold, and it stays, it dries, it cures, it hardens up, and it stays there, and it works. And people said, wow, that's great. I can get that stuff, and I don't have to pay a lot of money for gold anymore. And so people wanted their teeth fixed instead of holes or extractions, and so it became very popular. And the dentists that were placing gold and who, of course, understood that mercury is toxic, everybody knew mercury was toxic at the time, they said, no, that's a terrible idea. That's a terrible idea, putting mercury into people's mouths, into their teeth, the holes in the teeth. Don't do that. If you do that, you are a quack. And that came from the term Quacksalber, which is mercury in German. So the organization, I don't at this moment remember the name of it, but there was an organization for dentists, professional organization, that put out, you know, the statement that their members would not use this stuff because it had mercury and it was toxic. And if you used it, you were a quack. But the dentists that were using it, because it was cheap and they had, you know, lines out the door of people wanting these cheaper fillings because they couldn't afford gold. And so dentists were making money hand over fist, putting these cheap fillings in everybody's dental decay holes. So they decided that they would form a new dental organization to support the dentists who were using the mercury fillings. That organization is called the American Dental Association. And they had a big membership, and their membership had lots of money, and that organization thrived, and the original dental society professional organization went under and no longer exists. So that is how we ended up with the predominance of the mercury fillings, amalgams. So I'm going to talk about amalgams today. I'm going to talk about how when you need to have one replaced for whatever reason, or you want to have it replaced because you no longer want that stuff in your mouth, there are ways to drill it out and prevent you from breathing and swallowing all that mercury. So I'm going to talk about the safety protocols today for mercury in dental offices. All right, to protect your safety as a patient. You are listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoth. If you have any questions about today's topic or any other topic, give us a call, 425-427-8899, or you can reach the front desk by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. Get your questions answered, and I will be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know, going to the dentist can be tough, but did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Get your daily dose of variety. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Today, I'm going to talk about mercury and safety protocols. So, cosmetic dentists remove mercury fillings on the grounds that they are ugly, which they are. They're gray. They can be shiny and look silvery, but they're not pretty like teeth. So, and they, if they're near the surface of the tooth, because the filling is larger or undermines the enamel, your tooth can look pretty dark and gray. And the mercury fillings expand and contract at a different rate than natural tooth enamel and tooth structure. And so gradually, as you eat and drink hot and cold things, they expand and contract and break the surrounding tooth structure away. One of the ways that the industry has gotten away with saying that the mercury fillings last longer than the composites is because if your tooth structure breaks off next to an amalgam, they classify that as a tooth failure and not an amalgam failure. However, if you have a failure at the edge of a composite, that is considered a composite failure, composite resin. So that was how they got the failure numbers up for resins and lower for amalgams. And they have gotten away with that for years. And then the other thing that was accomplished by the industry was they made it, they would say things like, it costs twice as much to do a resin as it does to do an amalgam filling. And, you know, there's a grain of truth there, but the grain isn't, there is a grain of truth, but the grain itself is not relevant. And let me explain. So the way in which that is true, okay, what you are paying for when you get a filling is you're paying for a surgeon, because we are dental surgeons. Anytime you drill away any part of the body, anywhere, that's surgery, or remove, alter, that's surgery. For some reason, doing surgery on teeth is not considered as surgical as some other surgery where there's more bleeding, I guess. But the fact remains, technically it's a surgery. And what you are paying for is somebody who went to school, not only for a bachelor's degree and sometimes also a master's degree, but a doctorate in a surgical profession, surgical kind of a specialty of medicine is what it should have been. And that person had to go to 4 more years of school to be and pass a lot of exams, including a clinical practical exam, demonstrating proficiency in order to be given the privilege, i.e. license, to practice this profession of dentistry. What you're paying for is the only person legally allowed to alter your teeth in that way had to go through all of that training in order to be allowed to do that. That's what you're paying for. You're paying for somebody that's an expert and who has passed proficiency exams and other exams to be awarded the privilege and the credential to be allowed to do this. That's what you're paying for. You cannot just do this yourself or have somebody, that didn't go to school go ahead and do your fillings. So you're paying for them to work in an environment where, you know, they have adequate sterilization and staff and support and materials and equipment and the credentials to remove soft, mushy stuff out of a hole in a tooth and properly place material in there so that you don't jam food in between your teeth and your teeth don't fail and leak around these things, and you can floss normally and bite normally after it's been placed. Your bite still feels normal, even though it's on your biting surface. It's been adjusted correctly so that you can chew comfortably. If you have any idea what it's like to have a filling that's left a little too tall, then you know what I'm talking about. And that requires know-how. That requires training and expertise. And no one's allowed to touch the biting surface of your teeth except to do things that are reversible, except the dentist. And that is what you're paying for when you get a filling. So the fact that you're paying a few hundred dollars to get a filling, that's what you're paying for. You are not paying specifically for the material that got put in there, which actually doesn't cost very much money. Just because the material itself that's used to fill the tooth where the defect is, just because that material doesn't cost very much money doesn't mean the filling should be cheap, because that's not what you're actually paying for. That's like saying that when you go in to have a stent put into one of your arteries, how much did the little stent cost? Are you going to ask your cardiologist, how much did that little piece of stuff cost, that little mesh or whatever it was that you put up there in my artery to hold my artery more open so I don't have angina or plaque buildup there or whatever it is? How much did that little thing cost? Well, then why was my surgery, $70,000 when that little thing you stuck in there was only, $50? You would not ask your cardiologist that. So don't think, and I know the people listening to this show don't, but I'm just making my point. Don't think that the cost of the filling material is what you're paying for. Same with anything else that you're getting from the dental office. It is not the cost of the piece of plastic that is your night guard that you're paying for. You're paying for the service of having an appliance made that does what it is advertised to do. So the filling materials, back to the point. Yes, it turns out that resin costs twice as much for the dentist to buy it than amalgam. Twice as much as amalgam. But we're only talking about a couple of bucks versus $4 maybe, or 50 cents versus a dollar for the actual material. So when they say, oh, it costs so much more. And, back in the early days of using composites, they also had to buy etching and bonding materials. Also, a few parts of a dollar per use. So they had to buy extra stuff, and they had to pay more for the composite resin than they did for amalgam. So that's where the grain of truth is that, yeah, it was a couple more bucks, right? But that's not a justification for charging twice as much for a composite resin filling than is charged for a mercury filling. But the insurance industry would regularly downgrade, like you would put a composite resin in a tooth and report to the insurance, put in the claim, we did a composite resin in tooth 29, tooth surface, whatever. And the insurance would come back and say, we don't cover composites in back teeth, so we're downgrading to the amalgam code and fee allowed for that procedure. And so they would knock the fee down to some, whatever they thought an amalgam filling ought to cost. And that's, part of the problem was the insurance industry sort of participating in this downgrading to cheaper amalgam. And so some dentists got the bright idea that they would do nothing but composites, and they decided they would call this cosmetic dentistry. There's no specialty of cosmetic dentistry. There are just dentists who only place tooth-colored restorations and do lots of work on your front teeth to change the way your smile looks. And they call themselves cosmetic dentists because they want what they do to be an out-of-pocket expense, so that everything they're doing, it's cosmetic, it's for the look of it. It's not because resins are healthier for you or not as toxic, shall we say, as mercury. They didn't care about that. They only cared about how it looked. And so this became a discretionary income rather than a necessary dental procedure for medical reasons, etc. And that became how tooth-colored restorations became very popular for people who could afford it. And people would go to fancy expensive places and have tooth-colored restorations. And the implication was that if you couldn't afford these fancy tooth-colored restorations, then you would get amalgam instead because it's cheap. And that's why if you're low income or you're in the Indian Health Service and you go to a clinic like that to get your dental care, you are kind of stuck getting amalgam most of the time. All right. In the next segment, when we return after this break, I'm going to talk about the methods for removing and replacing these mercury fillings to keep you safe during that process, and the office staff as well, because we don't want to breathe it either. All right, you're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. To reach Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah, call 425-427-8899, and you can reach my front desk by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. I will be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know going to the dentist can be tough, but did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no-gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Today, I'm talking about mercury, and I'm going to now talk about the effects of drilling it out of your teeth and different methods and ways to do this. Some, you know, the problem with the cosmetic dental movement was that they were replacing old, ugly amalgams with beautiful restorations, but their goal was to beautify. And so they didn't necessarily know or agree that what they were removing from your teeth has toxic properties. And when it is removed from your teeth, it is, if safety protocols that work are not followed, you will swallow dust and sludge and particulate that ends up in your mouth, and you'll be swallowing that. And you will also be exposed to vapor because mercury volatilizes very, very easily. In other words, it evaporates into the air, and when you breathe it in, or it absorbs out of the particulate into your oral mucosa, it can absorb straight through your mouth tissue, and as you swallow it, it just keeps off-gassing mercury vapor, which goes directly through the tissues into your body as it passes through. You might end up eliminating some of that dust, but on its way through, it is off-gassing mercury gas, and you are absorbing that. So you don't want it in your body through that route, and you don't want to inhale it through your mouth or nose, because especially if you're inhaling mercury vapor through your nose, it is going directly through the tissues on the inside of your nose and sinuses, which is, as you know, only a short distance from your brain. And mercury vapor will pass through everything. It'll go directly through any kind of membrane into your brain and your central nervous system, and it'll go into the bloodstream and around your body, and there are certain tissues that have an affinity for mercury, and that would be your central nervous system, your thyroid gland, your kidneys, and elsewhere. Those are the main attractors, but it will go all over. And after an exposure for about 15 minutes, you will have an elevated mercury level in the urine. After 15 minutes, it will no longer be evident in the urine, and it will be absorbed into deeper tissues. So I remember years and years ago going to a dental conference. It must have been like maybe 20 years ago, 15 to 20 years ago, going to a dental conference. And at this American Dental Association conference, they had a booth set up and they said, we're going to be testing dentists for mercury exposure. We would like everybody to give us a urine sample today and we'll send it off. It's free. And then we'll email your report to you of whether you had mercury. So what's wrong with this picture? Here are some dentists that are at a conference. They haven't been in their office in at least a day or two. And they're going to test the urine for mercury levels. What do you think they're going to find? Nothing. They find nothing because you have to check the urine within 15 minutes of an exposure to get a positive result. Therefore, that was just a trick to pacify all the dentists and lead them to believe that they did not have mercury toxicity from their profession. That, you know, I learned late. Well, actually, I think I already knew at that point, but if I didn't, then it was from 25 years ago. And so it's possible that that was longer ago than I'm remembering. So more than 25 years ago, I think that took place because I believe I did not know at the time that I did that, that was not a valid way to do a urine test for mercury. So you can do urine tests for mercury when you haven't just been in the office, but you have to do what's called a challenge test, and you take a substance that causes a detoxing, and so your tissues dump a little bit of the mercury they're holding into the bloodstream, which gets cleared in the kidneys and is put into the urine to be sent out of the body. But you have to take a certain amount of this stuff, and you have to do the urine test within a certain time frame after taking that stuff, and then that has to be handled and sealed properly and sent off to a lab. But that's the right way to do a urine test for mercury exposure, or to do it right after the exposure itself. So cosmetic dentistry was a way to gradually get rid of mercury fillings in the population without alerting anybody to the dangers or toxicity. I think the ADA promoted this because they wanted the mercury problem to just sort of go away quietly and not have the big informational blow up that would happen if people en masse found out that these fillings are emitting toxic mercury 24/7 if you have any in your mouth. So mercury is considered a toxic substance. The toxicity comparison for mercury is when you compare it to lead, lead is less toxic. So we all know that even a teeny tiny little bit of lead is not a good idea. If somebody told you, it's okay, it's only a little tiny bit of lead, how could that possibly hurt you? You have to have a lot more than that for it to have an effect. And you'd be like, no, I really don't want any. How about zero? Because we all know that lead does certain things. It's a heavy metal, just like mercury is, but it's actually less toxic than mercury. So, but we all understand that the tolerance level for lead is zero, especially in children. where it can lower the IQ. So for mercury, it's not that it lowers the IQ. It has other neurological effects other than that, but it's considered more toxic than lead. It is less toxic than uranium, however, on the scale. So that's just to give you some perspective. Now, the amount of mercury, if you go to any scientific organization on this planet and ask, what is the safe level of mercury exposure for humans? You will be told it is zero. The safe toxic exposure levels for mercury is zero. There is no safe level. There's no a little bit is okay. It's always zero. So it turns out that the only organization that has come out publicly stating that there is a safe level of exposure to mercury for humans is the American Dental Association. And it just so happens that the safe level is the tiny amount that happens to come out of mercury fillings. And it doesn't seem to matter if you have one mercury filling or 32 mercury fillings. The amount, according to the American Dental Association, is so tiny that it doesn't matter, and that the amount coming out of your fillings, however many you have, is, in their view, that is the safe level because it's so tiny. It couldn't possibly cause any other problems. And other health problems that you have that are similar to the problems mercury causes, well, all of those problems have other possible causes. So it's very hard to go back and pin that on mercury unless somebody actually has a mercury exposure testing done to see if they have high levels of mercury. But like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the methods for checking for mercury exposure are faulty. And so it has to be done correctly. And it doesn't change the fact that all exposure is too much. So I think the American Dental Association may have been sort of hoping that the mercury problem would just gradually go away by having more and more cosmetic-oriented dentists just removing these in the name of that they're ugly and putting in something better, and that the problem would just sort of gradually decrease. And by the time it came out publicly that these fillings were pretty toxic, it would be sort of too late, and most people would already have had their fillings removed and replaced. So it is important to, if you're going to go to a cosmetic dentist and have that a so-called cosmetic, there's no specialty. All of us, all dentists, are cosmetic dentists. We're all trained to do veneers and beautiful crowns and beautiful work. And we all know which labs do, you know, focus on the front teeth and the beauty of the front teeth, and which ones are doing ceramic and other tooth-colored restorations that we can have made for our patients that are more sort of average. And we know those labs. We can pick the ones for front teeth and, you know, all the teeth that are, you know, if that's important to, you know, for the greater cost that is for that patient to have it done at that level, or just tooth colored and shiny and tooth shaped and nice looking, you know, that's an option too. But in any event, it doesn't have to be super costly, is my point, in order to get beautiful restorations. All dentists are trained to do this. We all know how. We all know how to do veneers and tooth-colored fillings and ceramic crowns and all of that stuff. So it's just that the cosmetic dentists were really pushing a lot of unnecessary smile improvements, unnecessary for functionality or health. It was all for, they were really trying to convince people to do a smile makeover, which is like cosmetic surgery and is an out-of-pocket. And they were making a lot of money from people who could afford this for a long time. But the point is, we all of us can do that level of work. So, all right, we're coming up on a break. In the next segment, I promise I will cover the protocols, safety protocols, that you should make sure that your dentist, whether it's a cosmetic dentist or someone that doesn't claim to be a cosmetic dentist, and we all are, we all do cosmetic work, that the mercury fillings must be handled in a way to prevent exposure to you, the patient, and exposure to the staff. We don't want it in our air in the office. We don't want to walk around and breathe that all day either. All right. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Our phone number is 425-427-8899, and you can reach the front desk by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. I'll be right back.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know, going to the dentist can be tough, but did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body?
I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Alternative Talk, 1150, online at 1150kknw.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. And now in this last segment of this hour, I'm going to cover safety protocols. All right. So there are some published safety protocols online, and the main one is from the International Association for Oral Medicine and Toxicology. Obviously, given their name before the age of the internet, this is an old organization. And it's IAOMT for short. I think it's .org or something. So you can go there and look at their protocols. They are almost good enough. Almost. I was on their committee to establish protocols, and I didn't agree completely with some of the ideas, and I didn't think that it was stringent enough in some respects, and I thought it was that there were some things that they were doing that were not necessary or shouldn't be necessary. If you're careful about the splatter, then then it's not getting into the room air, and although the air should be filtered anyway. They go through a bunch of protocols listing out and making it sound completely scientific, where actually some of the science that they refer to was done by some of the members of the organization and doesn't have any corroboration with anybody else's research or science. And yet they based a part of the safety procedure on those studies. So those were things that I brought up and wanted to talk about on the committee. So I decided to add the safety features that I felt they were not doing. And so the safety protocols that I use in my office are a combination of the IAOMT's recommended protocols plus other organizations that have research and information from around the world on safety with mercury and how to manage it and keep everybody from having any unnecessary exposure. And of course, all exposure is unnecessary and not optimal. So in any event, they decided to take these protocols and create a certification program for dentists. I'm not interested in their certification program because I don't think that their program is adequate to meet the needs of dental offices and patients for safety. But I'm not saying that their protocols aren't good. And in fact, any dentist that uses these protocols, any of the protocols or all of them, plus some extra protocols, which we do at our office, any safety attempt to prevent your exposure to mercury and exposure of the staff and, the indoor office air quality, any attempt to mitigate that and keep the office air clean and prevent exposure is better than no effort. And most dentists don't understand that these fillings can be toxic. And so most dentists do not take any precautions. They might use a dam and they might use suction. We all do that. That is pretty standard. I mean, even the dam is not really always used. But if it's used and not used correctly, then you're probably getting more exposure than if they didn't use it. And here's why. If the dam is placed on and it is not sealed properly, you're going to be getting water full of mercury dust just leaking underneath the dam, and you're swallowing it throughout the entire procedure. That's not good. It has to be, if it's going to be used, it has to be used correctly, it has to be sealed, it has to minimize any possibility of any places where water with the mercury sludge could get underneath. Okay. So that's one of the things. Also, your nostrils have to be protected from breathing any of the dust or vapor. And so you should be given something over your nose with a separate supply of air, not oxygen, but air. It's possible for oxygen, if you're given oxygen, that could change your blood-brain permeability, blood-brain membrane permeability, and actually create more of a problem. I don't know what, I can't point to the research on that, but it seems logical. So we use just clean air from a medical grade air tank, and that's what you're breathing while we're working. And then the other, that protects you from exposure, those two things. But once the procedure is finished and you stand up and walk around in there, and we're walking around in there, we also need to have some way to protect our air quality. So we have filters and we have special vacuums that are put 2 to 4 inches away from your face to prevent any vapor or particulate from going past the area where we're working, right inside your mouth, getting past that into our air that we're going to be walking around and breathing all day. And we also have room air filters going as well. So those are some of the ways that we prevent splatter, also by using enough water, but not too much water. Enough water to keep things wet and cool, and not so much that it splatters everywhere. There is a point at which there's too much water, it overwhelms the suction, and it just splashes out and gets everywhere. That is unnecessary. So I recommend that you take a look at those protocols, but don't think that just because a dentist isn't certified with that organization that they aren't using good protocols for safety. Ask any office that you're going to, including ours, to explain, describe, and show you how they're going to protect you from mercury exposure while taking out and replacing your fillings. And another thing that I wanted to mention about that removal is that it is recommended by a lot of places that these mercury fillings be cut into chunks and then sort of pried out in bigger pieces out of the tooth rather than drill the whole thing down to dust. That's logical, but the problem is, what are we leaning on to just pluck and pry out these pieces? Sometimes they are pretty good and stuck to the tooth. What are we using as a fulcrum to pry these little pieces out? Other parts of the same tooth. Teeth frequently have little fracture lines and cracks, and you can break a tooth. You can cause a cusp fracture, or you can cause a tooth to split further down the route by prying and leaning on these weakened areas around where the amalgam was. So I do not recommend that, because not only are we safe with mercury, but we want to prevent unnecessary trauma to the teeth. We do not want you to have lingering sensitivity for months after the procedure, which can be caused from leaning on the teeth and pushing on weak areas and causing cracks to be aggravated. And we don't want teeth to have nerves inside die from the trauma caused by that technique of removing the old filling. Then if the cracks deepen or the tooth is irritated enough by the procedure, the nerve inside can become necrotic, not necessarily infected at that point, but can become necrotic, devitalize, and you will wind up facing the choice of having a root canal or an extraction. And we have talked about root canals, and we in my office do everything possible to avoid traumatizing teeth so that you do not ever have to face that choice if we can help it. The tooth will eventually, if it has a root canal treatment, it does eventually become colonized, so they become infected. All right, this show today, Dental MD, has been about mercury and mercury safety, and I am Dr. Jessica Sapoff. If you have questions about any of the topics that I cover on my show, please give us a call, 425-427-8899, and you can reach the front desk by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. This has been Dental MD. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week.